we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you today, Brevard County. Welcome to a marvelous Monday, a glorious Monday, the opportunity that God has given to us to represent Him well in beautiful Brevard County. And I pray that you are going to set your sights on being fruitful and blessed in Him today. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at our church. Just a wonderful, wonderful group of people. And, you know, when we all started coming to church, we came one at a time. None of us really knew one another. There's not a power click or anything like that. There's just people that God brought to Merritt Assembly of God. And because of that, we're able to come to you and present this radio program. God has taken us from a position of financial, bankruptcy, if you will, from back in when I first came to the church, to a place where we're now able to take the gospel throughout Brevard County five days a week, three times a day. And God has truly blessed us, and for that we're really thankful. But there's room for more. We should never rest on our laurels until we have done everything that we can to reach every single person in Brevard County with the love of Jesus, and then use that as a launching pad to reach people around the globe. So it's going to be a great week. We're going to be talking today about the partnership that exists between truth and righteousness. My goal to finish this up today, but we may not. We were talking on Friday out of Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. And we went through several passages in Proverbs chapter 12 there that speak about how we should communicate as believers. Today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 48. We're just going to read a couple of verses there, and then we'll see where we go, how far we get in these other passages. Isaiah 48, verse number 1 says this: "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness, for they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name." So in verse number 1, it says towards the latter part of the verse, "who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness." So there is a spiritual disconnect, if you will, whenever there is any talk of God that does not include both truth and righteousness. It's not just the words that come out of our mouth, but it's the condition of our heart, the attitude of our life. And so God says, you can say all of the things that you want to say, but I'm looking for there to be a connection, an authentic representation of truth and righteousness in your life. So a person can say anything. You can parrot anything. A parrot, most of the time, if it communicates, it communicates what it has heard. And there's all sorts of funny jokes about parrots who go out and talk about things that the owner has said, and the parrot is just parroting it. It's not like the parrot is intellectually communicating, as to my understanding. They're just repeating what they have heard as they've been trained. So there needs to be, for the person who is calling upon the name of the Lord and claiming to have a relationship with him, listen to the things that they say. They're called by the name of Israel. They've come from the wellsprings of Judah. They swear by the name of the Lord. They make mention of the God of Israel. But God says, but not in truth or in righteousness. They call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. So he says, all of these things that you're doing, you're going through the motions, but it is not done in truth. It's not authentic. It's not genuine. And it is not done in righteousness. If you go on and look a little bit later in verse number 3, God says, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them. So God is saying that the reason that they're not done in truth and righteousness is because instead of worshiping God, they're actually involved in idolatry. And, you know, whenever you study the scriptures, it's somewhat confusing to see how there is such a shift from worshiping the one true God to worshiping Baal. And until you look and you realize that the generic meaning of the words means Lord. And so if you ask people here in America, do you believe in God? They said, oh, yes, I believe in God. Well, which God do you believe in? Well, what do you mean? And, you know, it's then that you start realizing that there is a distinct difference between God, big G, and any other God, little g. There's a big difference there. And part of that difference is manifest in the life that we live. It is not just the generic, oh, well, I believe in God. Okay, well, how has that belief changed your life? How does that belief dictate to you what you're going to do day in and day out? You know, there are things that I do not do because it would displease God and it would be harmful to Bob. So there are things that I don't do. There are lots of people. I mean, there's lots of money that's pumped into promoting doing those things, but I don't do any of them because God is not just a force on the outside of my life. He is not just one of the aspects of my life. He's the core. He's the foundation of my life. And so I want to encourage you that when you are, you know, talking about God, that there needs to be a manifestation of truth and righteousness. If not, the speech indicates that there's a spiritual disconnect. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 1. And let me just say this as you're turning over there. Isaiah and Jeremiah, every time that you hear God speaking to Israel in this way, it is not because he is hating on them. It's because he is inviting them back into the relationship, the covenant relationship with him that he always wanted. I think that a lot of times here in our lifetimes, we wonder, God, where are you? Whenever things start going difficult for us, and God, if you remember back in the garden, when Adam and Eve had done what they were not supposed to do and sinned, God said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? This is our time, and you're not here. Where are you? And it's not like God didn't know. Adam had to respond, You know, I've messed up. I messed up. But that wasn't Adam's response. Adam's response was really blaming God. He said, well, it's this woman's fault that you gave me. And so, in essence, he didn't blame Eve. He blamed God. And a lot of times we're blaming God when he seems so distant in our life. But there's an old saying, if God seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It was us. So God inviting us back into a relationship, a genuine, authentic relationship, that's the motive. That's the reason that he sent the prophets. The prophets were not just about prophesying the future. The prophets were actually inviting the people back into the type of relationship that God wanted with them all along. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 1 says, if you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, and if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved, and you shall swear the Lord lives. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. So again, we're looking at this partnership that whenever we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we seek truth and we discover that truth has all of these other characteristics that are partnered with it. And so whenever we find God, we just do not find, you know, the individual. We find every blessing, all that God has for us. You know, I like to say when God comes into your life, he brings his entire entourage with him. One of the first meetings that I remember going to a minister's meeting in, when I came to Florida, I traveled up with a bunch of other guys from the church that I was serving in. It wasn't Merit Assembly of God. I was on staff. I was a youth pastor down in Melbourne. And I remember seeing this one pastor come in, and there must have been 8 people that came along with him. And I thought, man, look at that entourage. And, you know, I thought, in order to have an entourage that big, you must have a pretty good sized church. And come to find out, it wasn't all that large. It was larger than what Merit Assembly of God is. But I just remember the entourage. And so when God comes into your life, truth comes into your life, all of a sudden you see things as they actually are, instead of the illusion that the devil was trying to get people to believe all along. All of a sudden you find a higher quality of life. You find joy that you never had before. You find peace. You found wholeness. You found hope, a future. You found truth, sincerity, peace, justice, and righteousness is what we're talking about here. And so he says, what I want you to be able to say when you, after you return to me and after you deal with your sin problem, I want you to be able to say, you know what? God has made me stable. God has made me stable. There it is in verse number 1. Then you shall not be moved. In other words, you're going to be able to withstand whatever comes your way. Because strength is not in our finances. Strength is not in anything else. Strength is in our relationship with God. Our strength comes from him. He is the omnipotent God. He is the almighty God, the God of all strength. And so whenever we enter into covenant with him, all of that strength begins to manifest in our life. Good times, bad times. He said, you shall not be moved. And he says, and that's going to impact the way that you talk. You are going to be able to say, and it says, you shall swear, the Lord lives. There's an old saying, I know that God is alive. I just got done speaking with him. And the fact that God's not dead, he is very much alive, is a reality. You know, every once in a while, you get to see something done that no one other than God could have pulled off. And the reason that you know that is because people are saying, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. So I remember a a football game years and years and years ago, and I wasn't really a fan of either team, but I was a fan against one of the particular teams, and you know, people were saying, oh, they're getting blown out, they're getting humiliated, and it's like, you know, I've seen this movie too many times. I said, I don't think it's quite over yet. And the team that was down by a substantial amount ended up coming back and winning. There's a guy who's been involved in the greatest comeback, and I think it's the greatest comeback in playoff history in both maybe it's a bowl game, but in on a college level and on a on the professional level in the NFL, the same guy was involved. And you know what he has? He has a relationship with Jesus. And so he's a head coach now. And they say, hey, if you're down big, don't ever count that guy out. Don't ever count him out. And so there are a lot of people who think that just because you don't see something, that means that God is given up on that and that he's dead or he's, you know, wound everything up. You know, a lot of the people, when they first came to America, they were known as deists. And deists believed that God created everything, wound it up like a clock, and set it in motion and said, I'll be back in a few thousand years to see how y'all are doing. That's not what God declares here. He says, you shall swear the Lord lives. And when you swear that, the statement that you make, it'll be in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. So it is the declaration is substantiated by the lifestyle. And so let me rephrase that. The lifestyle substantiates the statement. So when you say the Lord lives, if somebody says, prove it, you can say, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth. Other people might lie to you. I'm going to live out what I believe. Other people might tell you what they believe, but they're not going to live it out. And I'm going to make sure that I treat others the way that they are deserved to be treated. I'm not going to take advantage of other people the way that people from other religions or other types of worship may do. I'm going to live it out before you. And so when the people of God swore the Lord lives, their lifestyle substantiates, gives evidence to the declaration. Now, you can also look at it as the way that it says there, and you shall swear the Lord lives in truth and judgment and in righteousness. And that is that he lives there. When God is living on the scene, he's going to live in such a way that it is going to cause truth and judgment and righteousness to manifest in a community. And that is a wonderful testimony as well. I you know, if you want God involved in your life, you know, you need to say, God, is there anything in my life that you're not happy with so that I can get rid of it? So it goes on and it says, the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. So whenever we make that declaration, because God has changed our hearts, he's changed our lifestyle, and we realize that our relationship with him has been a blessing to us. It says the nations, the people groups, shall bless themselves in him. Okay? So if I told, well, let me put it this way first. Several years ago, God spoke to me, and it was one of these refining moments where he was making me more like him and less like, you know, the less than perfect version of me. And this is what he said. I have the ability to bless you beyond your ability to bless you. I'm going to repeat it. God said, I have the ability to bless you greater than your ability to bless you. Many people in our society live as if the only person who can bless them are themselves. And so when they look at that and they see, well, if anybody deserves to be blessed, it's me, that if they look to themselves as the source of their blessing, it will impact how they handle their finances. Their finances will be self-centered instead of service-centered. Their time will be, their agenda will be set by themselves rather than their agenda being set by God. But when you realize that God's ability to bless you is above and beyond whatever you could do, then all of a sudden you say, when God wants you to do something, you can say, yes, Lord, and you don't have to worry about it because you know that in God there is a greater blessing than anything that money could do for you or time off could do for you. It's like, man, God is really moving in my life, and it is a blessing. It is not just meant to be an individual blessing, although, you know, I'm talking to individuals here on the radio program, and you can make that choice. There is not anybody in the world that can deprive you of the blessing of God in your life. Not anybody, even in a persecuted country, they cannot deprive you of the blessing of God in your life. They can make life miserable for you. They can persecute you. But I want you to know that God has the ability to bless you. And having a relationship with him is the primary blessing that people can have in their life. I put it to you this way out of the book of Acts. And that is one of the primary blessings that God gives to us is the blessing of repentance. Because repentance causes us to stop running away from God, away from his blessings, away from his peace, away from his joy, away from his love, and we start running toward God and the purpose and the provision that he has for our lives. So if you want to be blessed, you've got to have a relationship with God that is true and authentic and is all about righteousness and judgment, and God's living in the midst of your life. So one more passage. We're going to go to the book of Zechariah. If you go to Matthew and turn left, two books is where you'll find Zechariah. You find Malachi, it's just one book to the left. If you find any of the other minor prophets other than Malachi or Zechariah, turn to the right until you come there. Zechariah chapter 8, verse number 6, says this: Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts? That's a great question. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. So our relationship with God has got to be upon the foundation of truth and righteousness, which Jesus brings into our lives. That's the ultimate message here. He said, I'm going to save my people from anybody who wants to attack them. Where they've been carried away captive, I can bring them back and cause them to dwell in the place I wanted them to live all their life. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. So that's the partnership there where you say, you know, I don't know if you do this or not. Every morning, my dad and my brothers and sister, my brother and sister, we have this text and it's like, good morning, everyone. Good morning, all, or some, you know, every day it's a little bit different, but my father's is almost always the same. And he says, good morning, all my children. And, you know, I've teased him and my mother when she was alive that, You know, sometimes I think that you are under the impression that I'm still 15. I told my mother that one time, and I was in my 50s, and I said, sometimes I get the idea that you and Dad think that I'm still 15, and just quick as you can take your next breath, she said, or younger. And, you know, but no matter how many birthdays he's had, no matter how many birthdays that his children have had, he still identifies us as his children. And God wants us to have that identity with him and says, you're my God. And he says, you're my people. You're my people. Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, said, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. So it is not just embracing a philosophy. It is an identity that comes from having a healthy and whole relationship. I just saw a headline here a couple of weeks ago that there was a person who, very, very popular. I don't know them. I read the article because it had, you know, it talked about their baptism, and it talked about how they had always run from the concept of a father figure, and till they realized that God was the father that they had never had, and that he had never left her and he had never forsaken her. And she was making a public proclamation of her faith. The last minute of the program, verse number 6 again says, we talked about this just a minute ago. Thus says Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? You know, we have this understanding of signs and wonders and miracles because they are supernatural. They are outside of the realm of what we normally expect in our day. And so we call them extraordinary, or we call them marvelous. And God asks a question, if it's marvelous in your eyes, does that mean it's marvelous in mine? And I want you to know, God has the definition. He's got a different label for what we call supernatural down here. He calls it normal. He calls it what the kingdom of God is normally like. And I want to just throw this out there to you, that we get back to the biblical understanding that we have a supernatural God who loves people, and he wants them to have a relationship with him in truth and righteousness, and he wants to do amazing, miraculous things, marvelous things in their lives. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Like the rain, come to me and sing again. I long for your love so much.